If you have your Bible, standing with me in honor of the reading of the Word of the Lord here this morning. And you can't stop the church. Well, right? Because you're the church. And all that the Lord is doing is exciting. And hallelujah. Somebody's going to get the Holy Ghost. Amen. Praise God. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We're troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always, somebody say always. Bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus. Notice this. That the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For which cause we faint not. But though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Notice this. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal or temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. I want to talk to you this morning on this thought. It's all about the treasure. It's all about the treasure. Ha! We have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power of God is in us. It's all about the treasure. Would you lift your voices? Would you lift your hands unto the Lord? Let's pray. Father in heaven, your word is anointed. Your word is true. It's infallible. It's good. It's great. And you're great, Lord. And we pray that you would help us to be hearers and doers of your word. God, to be open to receive your word, God. The seed would fall on good ground, God. Let us be convicted, challenged, edified, oh God. And your word be praised and glorified forever in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, in Jesus' name. ¿Cuántos dice en Jesus' name? Somebody say in Jesus' name. Come on, let me hear you say in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. In the name of the Lord. In the name of the Lord. It's all about the treasure. All about the treasure. I don't know if some of you would remember what Cracker Jacks are. I think those are one of the gifts that we put in the Father's Day goodie bag is Cracker Jacks. You remember, Brother Jess, those Cracker Jacks, Brother Nichols? There was always a treasure in there. And then he had the bazooka gum, the 3-second flavor gum. By the time you got it all smashed up, the flavor was gone. But it always had a little treasure in the wrapper, Brother Fernando, and even cereal boxes. Now, we had cornflakes when I grew up, but then put sugar on it instead of buying cereal with the sugar already mixed into it. Because we were Portuguese. We were penny pinchers. And so we would just put sugar on the cornflakes. But some of that fancy cereal had treasures in the box. Trix and Lucky Charms. And you got pirates that had treasures. And in fact, one company, Ross Dress for Less, for some time, their motto was, it's like a treasure hunt. You go to shop there and it's like a treasure. You gotta try to find what you want, and it's finding it is like a treasure. And the Apostle Paul is telling us that
that we are these earthen vessels. In fact, in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, he goes on in verse 3, said, "But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world," verse 4 tells us, "hath blinded the minds of them who believe not, lest the gospel of the glory, lest the light of the glorious gospel should be shined unto them." But notice verse 6 says, "For God who commendeth the light to shine out of the darkness hath shined in our hearts." And when we see the day and age we're living in, the despair, the perplexity, the perilousness, all that maybe we see and read and hear, you sometimes will walk away from a situation or hear about something, and you're just like, "Wow, that's crazy." And crazy doesn't even, you know, crazy to the second power or something, but you know, but Paul has given us some encouragement, admonition of we should be persevering through all of this. Trials, tribulations, temptations, persecutions, poverty, whatever we're going to be faced with, we have a call to persevere. And you'll notice that in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 1, the Apostle Paul starts out and he says, "Therefore, seeing we have this ministry as we have received, we faint not." And New Living Translation says, "We never give up." And in the ESV, it says, we don't lose heart. Another place in Scripture says, men's hearts failing them for fear. But Paul's telling us that we receive mercy, so we faint not. And at the latter part of this chapter, in fact, it's 18 verses long, but in the 16th verse, it says, "For which cause we faint not." Now, we understand that he started with that and he ends with that, so that must be something that he's putting there to remind us that when we, as a child of God, a Holy Ghost-filled believer, we have an understanding that we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We are the spiritual vessels. We are the earthen vessels. And a vessel is something that holds other things in it. And it's synonymous maybe with a pot or a vase. Sister Rodriguez received some beautiful flowers. And so those flowers are going to go in a vase. And that vase becomes the vessel to hold those flowers. And so we are the vessels of the holders of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We are the vessel. We are the holders of the message of truth. Acts 2:38, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost." We are vessels that the Lord has entrusted to us. He has given us the Holy Ghost. He has entrusted that to us. We are holders. We are vessels of a testimony of what the Lord has done for us and what he continues to do through us. We are vessels of that. In fact, we understand that the Scripture tells us that in what is it, Psalm 139 and 14, that we are fearfully and wonderfully made. And in Psalm 103 and 14, this is a good scripture to use somebody that thinks they're all that. And Psalm 103 and 14 says, "For he knoweth our frame, he remembereth that we are dust." So you tell somebody, "Oh, you're just dust, man." But the scripture tells us in Genesis 2 and 7, a verse I quote quite often, "But God formed man from the dust of the earth, and he breathed in the man, and man became a living soul." And so with that, we've got a spiritual mandate, because the Lord has brought us out of darkness. He's brought us into his marvelous light, that we should show forth the praises of him, right? And then it goes on to tell us that the next verse says, "Which in times past were not a people, but now are the people of God." And so we are vessels that God has entrusted the gospel to us. And so if we cannot hide, we should not be hiding our testimony. We should not be the scripture says in Romans 1 and 16, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, because it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth." And so we've got to understand something, that the scripture tells us again, that good thing which was committed unto thee in 2 Timothy 1 and 14, by the Holy Ghost which dwelleth in us. And so I just want to know here this morning, does anybody have the Holy Ghost here today? But does the Holy Ghost have you? Cuidado. Right? Does the Holy Ghost have you? 1 Corinthians 3 and 16, it tells us, "For know ye not that you are the temple of the Holy Ghost?" I might be a compound, maybe, but that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you. Therefore, we have a spiritual responsibility. That's why the scripture, which it makes reference in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, it says, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh." And Galatians 5 and 16 tells us, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." The world offers temporary satisfaction. But we're not living, and we should not be pursuing a temporary satisfaction, but we are striving to live and walk in the Spirit. 1 John 2 and 15 says, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world." The sins of this world, the hypocrisy, the bitterness, the offended spirit, the gossip, the murdering, the abortions, the stealing, the drunkenness, the covetousness, the greed, the gossiping, the envy, the gossiping, the drunkenness. I'm just nail some things that they have always paid the same. Always. They've paid the same since the beginning of time, and they always will. Romans tells us, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." Our bodies are perishable. They're subject to sins and suffering, but our God, pero Dios, he never abandons us. He there is the curiosity of the carnal man, but guess what? We have something in us. John tells us that greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. You got something in you, Jesus on the inside, working on the outside. Therefore, I want to make sure that my light, it may be small, but I'm going to let it shine anyways, because it's all about the treasure. Amen. It's all about the treasure. We're human in body, but residing in us is a spiritual gift, a blessing from the Lord. Proverbs 20 and 27 tells us, "The spirit of the man is the candle of the Lord, searching all the inward parts of the belly. The bigger the belly, the more to search. God is in charge of human life. The other rendition says, watching and examining us inside out. And I'm trying to build a foundation here for a moment. But you as a child of God, and if you have the Holy Ghost, somebody say, I have the Holy Ghost. You have the power and the authority of the name of Jesus. You should not become distracted nor disengaged or disconnected because of what's going on in the world or around you. But and don't look for reasons to become disengaged. And I'll give you an example of that. We should not try to multitask during church or during prayer time, but we should be focused on the Lord, because we've learned, right? We're not always going to be able to gather together like we're used to, but we got to keep that treasure inside, renewed, alive, lit up, on fire, as the scripture tells us. Our God is a consuming fire. Yes. Well, everybody take a deep breath. All right, let's hold it. Just hold it there. But you can let it out. But I'm... We ought not. Just want to make sure everybody's paying attention. So, not in here. But what good is it to stay up all night studying for a test or an exam or a class, writing a paper, then fail with your relationship with the Lord? Just saying, right? Just saying. No job, no relationship, no promotion, no popularity, immorality, paycheck, schooling, education, or sin is worth squandering your relationship with the Lord. It's not worth it. Now, I'm all for school. If you can financially afford it and you can spiritually handle it. And I understand things happen. You got to work when you got to work, et cetera, et cetera. So if you've been here any length of time under my ministry, you understand that for the first time this year, we didn't do a stewardship sermon series, but I'm all about working and et cetera, et cetera. But I'm going to just pastor here for a moment. Who cares what your degree says if you're not reading your Bible? Doesn't matter how many friends or followers or likes you have on social media. Do you follow Jesus? Your paycheck may look good, but how's your stewardship? Because if you're not giving him what is his, you'll never have enough. Will a man rob God? Come on, somebody. It doesn't matter. Talking to somebody sometime back, so excited because they got into a program, but they're not excited about living for the Lord. Does your life revolve around Jesus? Or does Jesus revolve around your life? It doesn't matter what your status in society is. Come on, somebody. Are you faithful? All the trophies, plaques, championship, medals, all that, you can't take that. You could put it in the coffin with you, but that's as far as it's going to go. But we have got to settle 100% for ourselves all over again, something that Bishop has engraved into the DNA of this church. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. What are you saying, Pastor? I'm saying it's all about the treasure. It's for where your heart is, there your treasure will be also, or where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. You look at your life and say, what do I value most? What am I putting on a pedestal? What am I pursuing? I'm staying on track. We've got to be about the treasure, about the kingdom, about the gospel, about the Acts 2:38 message, about holiness, about separation, about love and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. That we got to understand that there are going to be tough times. There's going to be difficult times. There's going to be days where you felt like you've lost the rest of your mind. And there's some people are, because they keep giving 2 cents out, and before you know it, they don't have anything left to give. And so there's trouble, and there's sins, and there's trials, and there's things going on in your life. But could you imagine what the people that don't know the Lord and don't have the Holy Ghost, what they're going through and facing? 2 Timothy 2 and 3 tells us, endure the hardness of a good soldier of Jesus. You're in the army. You didn't realize that. You're in the Lord's army. 2 Timothy 2 and 4 says, no man that warreth entangle himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. How foolish would Brother Parra look? We'll use Brother Bonham, because he was in the military. How foolish would Brother Bonham look out there in the middle of the desert with his machine gun, out there in his sweats and his chanclas, just out there, I'm patrolling, I'm out here, and not in his army uniform, disconnected, no radio, doesn't have any idea, not spiritually, physically fully armed with what's going on, but just wandering around, I got my machine gun, not engaged with the tactics of warfare, away from the protection of the rest of the unit. That is not the way you would want a soldier, and he would be foolish to be that way. And just kind of carousing him around and about, I'm in the military walking around with a machine gun, doing whatever. No, that's not how it works, friend. There's position, there's authority, there's responsibility, there's protocol, and if you're involved in an earthly unit or your earthly military, being part of the military, there's certain things that is expected. You got to stay in a certain shape. You've got to study. You've got to look a certain way. There's certain characteristics and behavior. You can see, we see it all the time. We're so blessed to live very close to Space Force, and we see military personnel, and you can tell they're by their etiquette. They don't have to tell you at times that they're in military, because you could just kind of sense it. It's the same thing with us. We're in the Lord's army, and we should not have to go tell people I'm a Christian, and we should not have to tell people that you're filled with the Holy Ghost, because the fruit of the Spirit should be manifesting in your life. It should be like a perfume or a sweet smelling ointment that says, you know what, there's something different about them. They look different, they talk different, they behave different. They're not in there cutting up, they're not putting people down, they're not cussing, they're not yelling and screaming, they're not doing things that are contrary to the Word of God. There's something different about them, and I want what they have, saints of God, because it's the treasure that is in you. You're not perfect, not going to be perfect. You go into a church that is filled with imperfect people, and I'm the first one that's not perfect. But guess what? We serve a God that is perfect, holy, just, loving, and he's merciful. And we ought to be all about the kingdom.
Amen.
The world will try to get you disconnected, disengaged. The success syndrome of this world is just that. It's a syndrome that is always hungry and never satisfied. Where would we be today if someone didn't pray for us? Where would we be today if somebody didn't love us and give us a second chance, third chance? Where would we be today without the love of Jesus? Forget about the love of one another. What about the love of Jesus? Where would we be today if the church quit? Where would we be today without the forgiveness of the Lord? Yeah. Paul says, we're, 2 Corinthians 4:8, we're troubled on every side. But we're not in distress. You can have trouble. In fact, the Bible tells us, man that is born a woman is a few days and full of trouble. But she doesn't, I mean, you don't have to be in distress. Earthen vessels, that's who we are. We're going to deal with trouble. Things may close in and crowd in like I told you was going to happen. But greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. A vase sitting on a coffee table is going to get bumped eventually. Moved around, chipped, look outdated, get put in a box, get forgotten about. But as long as there's something in that vessel, something in that vessel, it's treasured. That's who we are. We are the light in a world that is dark and getting darker. That's who you are. You are the light of the world. A city on a hill. God saved you, knowing all the stuff you brought to him and all the stuff that sometimes gets clinged onto us throughout life. The longer we live, he still loves you. You are valuable to him. You are the apple of his eye, the scripture says. Every single day he's mindful of you. You're not in distress. You may have trouble, but you're not in distress. There may be perplexities. People may forget about you. They might not say thank you. They may have offended you. There must be a conflict of personality. The season of life that you're in right now isn't the same season of life that you're going to be forever or that you were. To everything, there's a season and a purpose. But the scripture tells us in Matthew 26:41, watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. You're not always going to want to pray. You're not always going to want to have devotion. You're not always going to want to go to church. And in fact, if you're not feeling good, stay home. You're not always going to want to give in your offering or worship the Lord. But it's not about you. It's about the treasure. It has always been about the treasure. It has not been about pulpit. It has not never been about buildings. It has always been about the gospel, getting the gospel out to everybody. We're troubled, perplexed, but we're not in despair. Perplexed means to be at a loss, entangled, complicated, to be puzzled. But we're not in despair. Listen. You may be at the end of your rope, but with the Lord on your side, you are never without hope.
Right.
Never, never. I'll say that again. You may be at the end of your rope, but with the Lord on your side, you are never without hope. Never. It may be perplexing. It may be puzzling. It may be convoluted. But the scripture tells us in Romans 15:13, now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing that you may abound in hope through the power of yourself and positive thinking. Who said that? Is that what it says?
Yep.
It says right there.
Through the power of the Holy Ghost.
Through the power of the Holy Ghost. Not from some self-help book or program. Through the power of the Holy Ghost. His power in us is a treasure.
Amen.
The infilling of his spirit in us is a treasure.
Amen.
The gospel and your testimony is a treasure. Not only to others, but it ought to be a treasure to you. It ought to be something that you work hard to maintain your testimony.
Amen.
You fight for the truth. You fight for your relationship with the Lord. You fight for the gospel. Your salvation ought to never be at risk because the Word of God is not at risk. They may burn all the Bibles, but heaven and earth may pass away.
All right.
But my word shall never pass away. You may only be able to memorize Acts 2:38, but my goodness, when somebody starts asking you about the gospel and about your testimony, the Lord, the Spirit of God will give you the words and the unction to be able to minister. That is the treasure. That's why the scripture says, for with God nothing shall be impossible. Yeah, I feel a little shout right there. Some of you are looking at what's going on and say, it's not possible. You're right, it's not possible, but with God all things are possible. You got to believe, you got to understand that it's all about the treasure, and he'll do whatever he needs to do to make sure his people are okay.
Amen.
Persecuted but not forsaken, cast down but not destroyed. Persecute means to pursue with harassing or oppressive treatment. Yeah. Do you think we're going to be exempt from persecution? No. All of us will face some sort of persecution the closer it gets to the coming of the Lord. But it's about the treasure. It's about the gospel. The church has always grown and multiplied under persecution. Always. I was informed of something this week. And I'm going to say it, and it is what I was informed of, but it was that they last week, we understand that they killed over 200 plus Christian pastors in Afghanistan. And from what I was informed of, that there was a Christian church of like 300 plus, that since then the believers have grown to over 2,000. Listen, the church is not going down. You just think about what has happened in the last 18 months. The millions of people, just take RT, the thousands of people that we're ministering to each week. We never reached so many people as we're reaching right now. And it was stretching us. It was uncomfortable. It was sometimes discouraging and perplexing, like what's going on? But it's about the gospel. It's about the gospel. You gotta get the gospel out. We gotta share. It's about the treasure. It's about the treasure. So we go through what we go through. We face what we face. You deal with what you deal, but it's always about the treasure. Keep your Holy Ghost up. Keep your testimony ready to share with somebody, and be all about the kingdom and the gospel of Jesus Christ. He has entrusted us with it for such a time.
Amen.
He wants you to be saved.
Amen.
But he wants others to be saved too.
Yep.
Cast down, thrown down, it means to be flung to the ground, as in somebody that lost a battle. Hey, we have faced situations that have had us down. Physically, mentally, financially, emotionally, even spiritually, you may feel like you're on a roller coaster. But hey, the gospel is never down. The gospel's good news.
Amen.
The death, the burial, the resurrection, the power of God is good news. It's great news. That's why we got to do as Jude 1:20 says. But beloved, building up yourselves in your most holy faith. Praying, orar, pray. Somebody say pray in the Holy Ghost. I like this part. Keeping yourselves in the love of God. Turn to your neighbor and tell him, worry about you, por favor. Worry about you. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Listen, we're frail people. Losing our hair, our hearing, our eyesight, arthritis creeping in, but our treasure, the Holy Ghost, the treasure, our salvation,
amen.
The treasure, the gospel, the treasure, our testimony,
amen.
The treasure is not is not is not going to be diminished, but the treasure is in us. It ought to be alive. It ought to be well. The gospel is not hid, and it's not going to be trampled on. It's still the best news, the greatest news for all people. Come on, somebody. The gospel of Jesus Christ is a treasure. Paul says in 2 Corinthians 12 and 10, therefore I take pleasures in infirmities and reproaches and necessities and persecution and distresses for Christ's sake. For when I'm weak, then am I strong. And I'm coming to a close here. Galatians 6 and 8 tells us, for he that soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Everlasting life. And let us not be weary in well-doing. You know that Scripture tells us that the Antichrist is going to attempt to wear out the saints. Not the ain'ts, but the saints. That means that you could be weary physically. Physically weary. Mentally weary. Sometimes you just get tired in your mind. Your body's good, but your mind is tired. How about the emotional weariness? Right? The highs and the lows, it's like, oh. It's like, yeah, we use the term emotional roller coaster, right? Just, it's like, oh, right? It's like that high school love, right? It's like, oh, man, like emotions, right? Financial weariness. But this says, let us not be weary in well-doing. So doing well can make you tired? That's what I'm saying. Get tired, hermana Violeta, right? We could get tired. But notice this. Don't be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we, there's that word again, faint, not. We got to persevere.
Amen.
Can't lose heart. Gotta. What do you? Somebody said, Pastor, what do you do? We start having three services. We have three services. That's what we do. We have three services. You know, we get three services. That's what we'll do. It is what it is. Guess what God has called us to do? We do what He's called us to do.
Yeah.
We just move forward in Jesus' name. We just. I'm an earthen vessel. It's about the treasure. It's not about me. It's about the gospel. It's about the gospel. Stuff we go through, we deal with, we face with. Guess what? It's about the gospel. It's about sharing the gospel with others and letting them know that I am a flawed person in my human, but I got something on the inside that is not flawed, but it's perfect, and it's life, and it's abundant, and it's a blessing, and it'll change your mind. It'll change the world if you let it. And it's called the Holy Ghost. It's called Jesus. It's called salvation. And you need what I got. In fact, you want what I have, and you got to get it today. You don't want to live in this world without Jesus, because without Jesus, you're not living. But it's all about the treasure. Musicians begin to make their way here this morning. Our treasure, the gospel and our salvation and our testimony, not in distress. It's not in despair. It's not forsaken. It's not destroyed. You just think about where God brought you from. Oh yeah, some of you can't believe it. You knew it had to have been God, right?
Yes.
You're like, right. If you knew who you were sitting next to before they got the Holy Ghost, you'd be part of the online congregation too. Pero Dios. But God. Woo! The devil had you down, but Jesus lifted me. Mm. Song said, me and the devil, we had a tussle, and I won again. I put him under my feet. The God of peace shall put Satan under my feet where he belongs, because it's all about the treasure. Say, what happens when I get down and I stumble, Pastor, and I mess up? Let me give you a Bible verse. Micah chapter 7. Rejoice, Micah chapter 7, verse 8. Rejoice not against me, O my enemy, for when I fall, I shall arise. When I sit in darkness, the Lord, not pastor, not the church, the Lord shall be a light unto me, because it's all about the treasure.
Amen.
We stand this morning. It's all about the treasure.
Yeah.
It's all about the treasure. Which cause we faint not. But if our gospel be hid, it's hid to them that are lost. Jesus says, I've come to seek and to save that which is lost. I thank the Lord that He saved me.
Yeah.
I thank the Lord that He didn't give up on me.
Yeah.
I'm thankful, Brother Nichols, that it didn't stop in Acts chapter 2. It didn't stop it in the 1980s. 88 reasons, right? Thankful. That maybe it didn't work out for you at another church. But it's working out for you today here. Thankful for that. Because it's about the treasure. It's about the treasure. To everything there's a season and a purpose. A time. And as we move forward. As we're moving forward. Got to be about the treasure. It's got to be about the treasure. Seek ye first the kingdom, for the promises unto you and to your children. As for me and my house, it's about the treasure. It's about the treasure. Isaiah 41:10, I think. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I'm going to strengthen you. I'm going to help you. I'm going to uphold you with the hand of my righteousness. How are we going to do it, Pastor? He says He's going to strengthen us, and He's going to help us, and He's going to uphold us. So when I don't have strength to even hold myself together, because it's about the treasure, He says, I'll strengthen you, and I'll help you, and I'll even hold you up. But just don't faint. Just don't lose heart. Fall back and I'll catch you. I'll hold you up. But don't lose heart. Don't faint. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. Troubles, persecutions, afflictions. But it's all about the treasure. Anybody want to get to heaven?
Amen.
Anybody love the Lord this morning?
Amen.
Anybody need to draw closer to Him?
Yes.
Anybody feel the presence of the Lord in this place? Ah, just lift your hands. Come on. Your husband may not have the same value or appreciation about his treasures you have. That's okay. Worry about your treasure. Come on. Huh. Treasure.